This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Across the Betting Weekly Studios output, we have five soccer preview shows. The most profitable one this season so far is this one. Welcome along to Betting Weekly Extra Time International Edition. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, plus senior handicapper Steve Wiss and Spanish football journalist and editor of Football España, Rory Barlow. This is the last international break of the calendar year. As far as the European Championships are concerned, this is a big one now, boys. I've got two different ways to spin this one. Steve, first of all, it is the last chance for some nations to try and make the finals by the regulation route of qualifying via group in Germany next year. And I guess potentially that does make it easier for bettors to narrow down which fixtures are meaningful and which aren't.
Well, good day to you, Dan, and good day to you, Rory, as well. Really, the international shows have been great, haven't they, in terms of profit, I must say. Going back to the World Cup, really, we have an exceptional team here on up because we win for all soccer, but especially international soccer. I think we're brilliant. So, this is always a tricky international round, I always think, in November. But depends what sort of style of betting you like, Dan. If you only want to get involved in games where there's some things actually at stake, I suppose it makes it easier. You've got to select games to choose from. But I think there's sometimes some great value on dead rubbers as well, if you know the situational. Like I've always said before, look at each match individually if you can and gain your edge in that way. It doesn't really make much of a difference to me because I kind of balance it out in different sort of ways. But I suppose, yes, if you like to nail it down and narrow it down to games that matter, then it is an easier sort of window.
But just to muddy the waters a little bit, Rory, we've got eight nations that have qualified, I make it, plus, of course, the host Germany. 12 have been eliminated, cannot qualify. But that leaves the fate of over 30 countries or UEFA member associations, as they're known, that still have something to play for. We've got safety nets of playoff places via the Nations League, of course. So in that sense, you can look at a fixture and think, well, there's nothing on this, but potentially there still might be. So that can make it difficult to a certain extent for bettors as well. It's the same question, but spun in a different way, Rory.
Yeah, well, Dan, coming to you as one of those people from a nation that's qualified and happily at the Euros, I'm going to crow about this for the one time that Scotland are actually there. I had to look into the minutiae of UEFA's qualifying system and kind of really investigate what I was looking at for this international round. As you say, there's a lot of teams still in it, but ultimately, as Steve says, on a game-by-game basis, you're still assessing how good a football team is. And I think in international football, there's less of a gap than in club football, because obviously the bigger teams with the bigger money pull the best talent. But in international football, there is still a gap to look at. And I think form-wise, almost more so than in club football, momentum plays a much bigger role. So yeah, I've kind of looked at it again on an individual basis, but there's some that you stay away from, particularly the unreliable teams.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because the gap has definitely grown between international football and club football. Club football's so much superior, but there's an awful lot to unpick if you're looking at some of the groups. I mean, Group E, we haven't got one nation that's qualified yet or one nation that's completely out of it yet. It can be a little odd, so make sure you're across that. Do your research. We're going to talk South American World Cup qualifiers as well. A lot more straightforward, obviously, and we'll get some picks from the boys when it comes to the action in South America over the next week or so. We're going to start our previews in Tallinn. Where else? Estonia against Austria, Thursday midday kickoff. Austria minus 278. They are short price favourites here. Estonia plus 750. Austria have already qualified here. Estonia can still make the playoffs, bizarrely, but if they did make the playoffs, there would be an effectively pot one. So I couldn't really see them get beyond it, but you never know. Rory, you're tackling this game for us. What's the play? What's your thoughts on Austria away at Estonia?
Yeah, well, starting with the play, I'm going for Austria to beat Estonia and over 2.5 goals in the game. That's plus 105 that comes back at, and that is just our way of finding a bit of value in this game, in a game that I think is going to be pretty one-sided. I mean, It was only 2-1 in Austria, it has to be said, which is tighter than you'd think. But I think Estonia probably aren't going to get two shots at this game because the gap between the sides is large. Lovely place, Estonia. Lovely people. Lovely city, Tallinn. But they're not blessed with great footballers. They're a long way of having their golden generation. And I think for Austria, from their point of view, these players are now fighting for spots in the squad. I mean, they'll be experimenting a little bit, but I think that almost plays in their favour. You've got kind of young attackers in kind of Swiss and Austrian football. There's a couple that are really standing out for me. So I think they still have a slim chance of topping this group, Austria, which would affect their seeding for the Euro. So if they win this game, then they put the pressure on Belgium for their final game. And they've won 5 out of 7 of their qualifiers. It's only Belgium, a draw against Belgium and a loss to Belgium, that's taken points off Austria. So I find it hard to look beyond Austria. And once that first goal goes in, you're always kind of looking at how the score's going to run up because the spaces start to appear once the other side has to come out. And yeah, I trust Austria to get a result here.
So Austria to beat Estonia away from home, over 2.5 goals at +105. When Rory was talking about Estonia, Steve, a little wry smile came on your face there. Have you got an Estonia thought here? I'm not quite sure if this comes into your sort of Scandinavian knowledge or not, or does it?
I was just loving how complimentary Rory was about the country and the city of Tallinn before he went on about the football team, because we kind of knew what was coming. This is a bet. It's in one of my in a parlay I've got later. I really like Austria handicap here as well. I must say, I think Estonia are not a very good soccer team, Dan. And Austria, you look, at the end of the day, you might laugh, they're already qualified, but every win matters in terms of ranking and things like that. So they should be up for the fight.
Liechtenstein, Portugal, next up. This is Thursday, 2:45 Eastern. Portugal, excuse me, very short for this one. Liechtenstein, as you would imagine, ridiculously big. Portugal have qualified, but they are the type of team, Steve, that just, you know, want to keep on scoring, want to keep on racking up the wins. They've won 8 from 8 here. And this, I sense, is going to be another positive pick from Portugal. How do we go about getting the value in this game?
Yeah, maybe I'll take a leaf out of Rory's book here and just say how nice a country Liechtenstein actually is. I've a very small country in between Switzerland and Austria, and it is some beautiful scenery there. I have been passed through it a few times. But unfortunately, a bit like Estonia, their football team is not very good. And I mean, the play here, it's an awkward one because it was going to be -3.5 Asian, but that line has been completely smashed in like the last 12 hours. So at the minute, the Asian line available is -4 on Portugal, which that's the line I'm going to advise. And I think I would say just take a -4 Asian handicap on Portugal, anything at -175 or better, I think is the best way of saying it, really, because I think ultimately at kickoff, this line might be close to -4.5. The books don't really know how to price this up. I'll tell them how they should price it up. The correct line is -5 Asian. If any books are listening, that's what you should be doing, boys, because there's night and day between the two teams. Portugal are what you call flat track bullies, in a way. They're a very good side, don't get me wrong, but some teams would not be bothered here. They'd just come here, get the win, you know, get 2 or 3, and that's enough for them. But they love racking up the score. They got Ronaldo in their ranks, who scored 45 goals across all comps in 2023. He's the sort of guy who wants to finish 2023 as the top scorer in the world. And this is a fantastic chance to get to pad up your stats and get loads of goals. He scored 9 in this qualification campaign already. Bruno, 8 goals and 7 assists. Portugal have become monsters here. Roberto Martinez, I think, and him and Ronaldo are a dangerous mix because they just love beating up and embarrassing sides. One slight word of caution, Liechtenstein have actually covered their Asian handicap in 6 of their 8 fixtures in this group, would you believe? Iceland, though, have beat them 11-0 on aggregate, so that kind of shows how bad they are. And I think Liechtenstein are really, really bad. I mean, this is one of the few teams that couldn't even beat San Marino in the last few years. That's how bad they are. So I'm very happy to take the Portugal handicap. -4. Don't go any more than that, because then you're needing them to win by 5 goals. But the minus four Asian line is well worth taking because this you're looking at really blowout City here now.
But a Portugal value at plus 900 to win the European Championship. I'll ask that Rory first. I mean, I can't remember what price they were when they won it, but they weren't single figures in UK parlance. There might have even been 16 or 20. I mean, I look at the squad and I think it's a fantastic squad. I think Ronaldo might be a bit of an issue in the bigger games. But Rory, I mean, I mean, yes, they're potential winners, but would you play them at plus 900?
Personally, no. I mean, I always have my doubts about Portugal. I think they were very lucky to get away with that Euro 2016 win where they didn't win a game in 90 minutes, did they? Or maybe they were one against Wales in the semis. So yeah, I don't feel like they're a value side to back. I mean, you look at what happened in the World Cup. They've gone from Fernando Santos, who was the archetypal defensive miserly coach. He tried to open things up a bit. Now you've got Roberto Martinez. I think he's always a tricky manager to assess because he did wonders at Wigan, had an up and down spell at Everton. Then you go to Belgium and he gets them to the semi-finals, which is their best ever finish in a World Cup. But also you look at that squad and many people thought maybe they should have gone on and won it or done more in the Euros. So I think Martinez is a tough one to assess. I think he will free them up, Portugal, but I don't necessarily think he's the one to play tournament winning football in my view.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the price needs to be bigger for me. Steve, just briefly on Portugal's outrights at the minute. I mean, the price ain't going to change between now and when they kick off in Germany next summer.
I think Bobby Martinez is the sort of manager who raises hopes really high wherever he's at, club or country, because of, you know, look at the qualification results. He plays lovely attacking football and everything like that. But the problem is, come the real crunch, are you going to want to back a Roberto Martinez team in, say, a semi-final when really defences often win championships, don't they, at the crucial period? And I think my answer would be no. But I do like what he's doing here at Portugal. I think a lot actually, not laugh, but thought they could do better than his hire. So far, he's not put a foot wrong, has he? So, you know, fair play.
Let's talk World Cup qualifiers in South America. We've got three games we're going to take a look at. First of all, we're going to go Venezuela, Ecuador here. It's a 5 p.m. kickoff on Thursday Eastern. Venezuela plus 195. Ecuador are the favourites plus 140. Venezuela never qualified for a World Cup finals. Had a very good end of 20 side a few years ago that lost to England in the final in 2017. Unlucky to lose that game, really. I think it was a Calvert-Lewin winner, but the likes of Yan Galarreta came out of it for Venezuela. And we've sort of taken a look at Venezuela, Steve, on a couple of occasions, haven't we, over the course of these early qualification games. And you're siding with them here against an Ecuador side that we like as well.
I'm going with Venezuela, yeah, on draw no bet handicap or zero Asian handicap line at plus 110. And yeah, I've mentioned them as a couple of leans, haven't I, on the show. I think this is their time. They've never qualified for a World Cup before, ever. The only South American side never to feature at a World Cup. But the new system where there's more places now available, I think has really perked their interest. It reminds me a bit of when the Euros expanded to more teams, where we suddenly got sides in qualification doing a lot better because they thought they had a more realistic chance of making it. But I'm really impressed with their defence in this qualification campaign so far, Dan. They drew against Brazil away, which that takes some doing. You might think maybe they fluked it, but they restricted Brazil to 0.83 XG in that game away. That fair play. They beat Chile recently. That was, again, restricted them to 0.38 XG. I've looked. They're not conceding that many shots on target. And they've got an interesting Argentine manager who's playing like a 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 system. Tough to break down. So I think they can get a result here against Ecuador, who it looks like they're going to be missing Pervis Estupiñán, and that's a big loss. I mean, Brighton haven't even won a Premier League game since his injury. And I thought they looked ordinary against Bolivia last month, to be honest. They also only had a 0-0 against Colombia. So this is a winnable game for Venezuela. There's a good chance of a draw here, I must say, Dan. I think four or five times out of ten, this would end a draw. So you do need the draw, no bet cover. But I think Venezuela should be slight favourites at, say, you know, minus 125, minus 130 on the draw, no bet line. So I think we're getting a bit of value. Just one other thing to say about the I often go on about tough places to go. Well, this might be quite a dangerous place to go. I was actually reading an article recently.
This is not Tallinn, is it? This is not Estonia.
This is Caracas, the capital city of Venezuela. It's one of the most dangerous cities in the world for crime. Although this is actually being played at a place called Maturin. I think that's how you pronounce it. But yeah, dangerous place to go. But hopefully this is a safe bet for us.
Plus 115 to finish in the top six. So those are the automatic qualification places. Seventh place gets you a playoff. I mean, would you back them at plus 115? The other nations here, Steve, Chile minus 112, Paraguay plus 180, Peru plus 280. Bolivia ain't going to qualify, I don't think, even at this early stage. Plus 115 Venezuela to make the top six. About right?
Yeah, it's about right. I want to mention,
I mean, in a way, you think to yourself, I'd want a bigger price. I mean, you know, you said they've never qualified and only not to. And you think, why would I back them at plus 115?
One thing I've got to mention about Ecuador, by the way, they've actually had a points deduction, a 3-point deduction in this section for falsifying a passport of a player in the previous campaign. I can't remember what his name was. It Castillo or someone, I think. So that's a bizarre one.
Is that his new name or his old name?
I don't even know. It's a bizarre one. Who knows? That might be the difference. Look, I'll tell you one thing. Bolivia, they're done already. Their race is run. Peru are awful. So I think that's two teams are not going to be in anywhere near the top six. You're looking basically between Venezuela, Paraguay and Chile for that sixth spot, in my opinion. So the odds are about fair, but I think Venezuela, the bit is between their teeth. They're really fired up, the close-knit group. And if I had to, you know, gun to my head, which is quite often the case down there, isn't it, in South America, then I would say yes. I would play the bet rather than lay it, yes.
I hope you never get to go, Steve. You might be in trouble. Colombia, Brazil, we can talk about next. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Colombia plus 255. Brazil plus 120. Now, Rory, bettors are going to look at Brazil plus money against a side that failed to make the last World Cup finals and think there is some value there. But Brazil have struggled. Just give us your take on this game with you know, why Brazil might be opposable, because I know what your pick is here. So just talk us through your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going Colombia plus 0.25 on the Asian handicap here. That's minus 110 that comes back at. And I'll tell you why Brazil are plus money. It's because they haven't won in Colombia since 2003. Colombia, to be fair to them, they're unbeaten in their last 15. That is mostly just kind of South American qualifiers and friendlies. But they've beaten Germany in that time. The last loss they had was against Argentina. So, I mean, they're the world champions, of course, and that was only a couple of years ago. So I think this is a decent enough Colombia side. They're not as packed with star quality as they were a decade ago when you had the likes of Falcao, Juan Ferquintero at his peak. You've got Nestor Lorenzo in, and I think he's installed a real kind of solidity to this side. It's a team that doesn't really lose games. They might kind of go one way or the other, but against Uruguay, they drew 2-2 as well recently. That was only a last-minute penalty from Darwin Nunez. So they've been really solid so far, 1-1 and drawn 3 of the first 4 games. And yeah, Brazil, I mean, draw away to Venezuela, a loss to Uruguay. They're without Neymar, they're without Eder Militao, they're missing a couple players. And you've got Fernando Diniz, who's in charge, and he's just won the Libertadores with Fluminense. And people have been falling at his feet, praising how they play and his kind of style of play, which is a little bit different. But with that comes the fact that he's only had a couple of games in charge of this Brazil side. It's probably going to take a while for him to install any semblance of a system or really kind of get his players moving the way he wants them to. And for South American qualifiers, where teams are gritty, they are cynical, the crowds are kind of really up and at you, the journey time is really long, it's not conducive to creative players. And that's what Brazil do have in abundance. But against a side that's going to set up with a low block, I just like Colombia here to get a result. And I think if Brazil were maybe kind of under Chiche and kind of cruising along and just looking forward to a World Cup, yeah, fine, that makes more sense. But Brazil are in a little bit of turmoil themselves. I mean, they had 6 months where they didn't really appoint a manager. They've got Diniz as an interim manager. The theory is that Ancelotti takes over next summer, but it's all a bit up in the air, and they don't really have too much riding on it because they're going to qualify anyway. So I think this will mean more to Colombia, and I expect them to get the result for that reason.
Steve, just quickly, your thoughts on Brazil at the moment, because we sort of, you know, look to oppose them with leans and talked about the fact that it might not be a great time for Brazil bettors at the moment. What do you think?
I think it's a great pick.
Yeah, Rory. I think it's a really good bet.
I think really, really pleased that we've got this bet on the show. And I think it always takes some balls to go against Brazil. And he's shown it here. But I don't, are Brazil even that good? What have they done? They beat Bolivia 5-1. But most teams do that at home. Struggled in the other fixtures. I watched them against Uruguay, and they're very ordinary. Very ordinary indeed. They really lack, I think. Do they? How many real X-factor players do Brazil actually have now? I mean, they've got Richarlison in attack. And
is Richarlison even going to play? I don't know.
I mean, he's just quite underwhelming for me. I don't know. This is a turbulent time for Brazil. There's a good job for them. There's 3 years to the World Cup because they need to get themselves sorted out a bit. So, but another thing to consider, I'm going to talk about this in the Argentina-Uruguay pick in a minute. The big game in a few days' time after this is the Super Clásico of South America, Brazil against Argentina. Their eyes and focus is surely going to be on that game rather than this one.
Where is that game, Steve?
In Brazil.
In Brazil.
Now, that we're going to be talking about that on the next show. But I think their full focus really will be on there rather than this Colombia fixture. Good, maybe a decent chance of a draw. But if a team's going to win, I would actually go with Colombia at the moment.
Just one final thought on Brazil, Rory. Is Ancelotti going to take this job? He's been talked about it so much. I mean, what is the I mean, you're in Madrid. What is the feeling there? Is he just inevitably going to take it at some stage?
I think so. I think Ancelotti he's a bit conflicted because he's so used to being sacked by big clubs. I mean, he usually sticks around for 2-3 years that to walk out on Real Madrid feels a little bit silly. And if they were to offer him a new deal, maybe. But the way Xabi Alonso is going at Leverkusen, I think he'll be in next season. I just think it makes sense for everyone. Real Madrid's Ancelotti's a brilliant manager for them in many ways. But is he progressing them as a real kind of tactical outfit and as a football team? He's done well so far, but I feel like there's more room to progress, and I think Perez will see it that way. So I think Ancelotti came in as a stopgap. He's done brilliantly for 3 years, which will be when his contract expires. So yeah, I think he will end up in the Brazil job because ultimately he's talked about retirement. And Brazil is a lovely kind of last job, international management. You calm things down and, okay, maybe there's a lot of pressure at Brazil, but you don't quite feel it the same way if you're not from the country.
Might need him, depending on what happens over the course of the next few games, but I'm sure inevitably they will qualify. Speaking of Argentina, Steve, trailing it, they take on Uruguay, Clásico del Río de la Plata, which is what Wiki tells me. Uruguay against Argentina in Buenos Aires. Argentina are favourites -200, Uruguay +580 for this game Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, with a draw +285 here. Uruguay, as we mentioned, Steve, beating Brazil last time out for the first time in a long time, and can they win in Buenos Aires? It, you've already alluded to the fact that Brazil are going to be looking at Argentina. Are Argentina going to be looking at Brazil? Will they take their eye off the ball? What's the play?
I am definitely going to be against Argentina here. I'm loving this show. We're betting against both Brazil and Argentina. I just love the thought of that. Uruguay +1 on the Asian handicap, -115, Dan. You're right. Bielsa is a miracle worker, isn't he? You know, he's produced that win for them against Brazil. It was a match which I got wrong. I went the overs in that game. I was very lucky to get a half loss on the over 2.25. But the style, he changed it a little bit. And Brazil only played one way. I think there's often a lot of people will be looking at the overs here as well. And Bielsa said, we're not going to come here to defend. The intention is to come to Argentina and dominate the match, he said. Said he's got no game plan for Messi. And he said, that's great for football, but we will do our best to limit him. And, you know, but that doesn't mean he's going to come here gung-ho, because this is an interesting game for Bielsa as well. I think it's one of the few times he would actually be happy with a draw. You know, his own country would get a point. He would get a point. He'd probably get lauded for a tactical masterclass of some sort. So for one of the few times, I think Marcelo Bielsa would be okay with a draw. And I think Argentina would be fine with that as well. The top of the standings, 100% record. The big game for them is the Super Clásico against Brazil. That's the one they can't afford to lose there. no one's going to want to get injured or suspended for it or be... I could even see the last 25 minutes of this game playing out quite tamely, actually, if it's tied. So I really like the idea of taking the underdog. Even if Argentina win, they're not the sort of team that usually win big in games. They're known for a tight defence. Very good defence, actually, in my opinion. So I think this might be a tighter game than some think. I actually think unders could cash in all these qualifiers, by the way. I mean, it's a great... You could have an under parlay for all these games in South America. I think you could do quite well. But yeah, Uruguay, look, Bielsa took over and he's instilled a lot of belief. He's the sort of manager who does that wherever he goes. So they're going to come here despite... I don't think they've actually picked up a point in World Cup qualifying in Argentina since 1998. Although they did actually beat them in the Copa America in 2011 on penalties when it was hosted in Argentina. That was a tournament which Uruguay won, so they can fall back on those memories. Just think Argentina are overrated a little bit here with the books in terms of price. I would have the handicap probably minus a half or minus 0.75. So a full plus one Asian handicap on Uruguay. Complete refund if they only lose by one goal. They will, whatever happens here, you know, they will go down swinging, even if they end up losing. So very happy to side with Uruguay.
One Friday game to look at midday, Eastern, Finland, Northern Ireland. Finland minus 112, Northern Ireland plus 310, draw plus 240. Opposing Northern Ireland has proved profitable for our handicappers over the course of qualifying, 6 defeats in 8. And Rory, we're sticking with the same theme here.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends from the north, and it's
not anymore.
The Giants called it a lovely place, but yeah, continuing on that theme, I think Finland are the favourites here. They're at minus 112. I'm backing that. There's no need to galaxy brain this game. I mean, Finland have 4 wins and 4 defeats. If they go behind, they struggle to get back. If they go in front, they're very difficult to claw back. And Northern Ireland, as you say, really struggling. Kind of, it's only those 2 wins against San Marino that really they've got to savour from this campaign. It was 2-1 in Belfast last time out, and Finland, they are still in with a chance of qualification via the Nations League. So I think they'll be trying to build towards that. They'll have their eyes on something, whereas Northern Ireland, again, they're just trying to get something together and really kind of put anything kind of forward for the next campaign. Finland, the last 3 on the bounce, I think they've won at home. So I think apart from one game, but yeah, I think they'll get the job done here. It's a simple enough home win for me here.
Yeah, just a little bit less than even money. Minus 112, I think it's a good play as well, Finland, to beat Northern Ireland Friday midday Eastern time. Just a few leans here before we get the best bets of the round. Steve, you've gone for a parlay, which is something that you don't usually do. You've put together 3 teams here, all to win. Talk us through your parlay lean.
I've gone with a 3-leg parlay, a treble. And the 3 teams, they're all in Europe to win, is Austria, Hungary and Slovakia. Rather than have 3 leans, let's condense it into 1 and let's have a bit of a value here at plus 316. We've already talked about Austria. And they should easily beat Estonia quite comfortably. Hungary are a side that I think are trending upwards. I think they're well worth watching, and they're pretty underrated. Bulgaria are not good at soccer now. They're kind of misconstrued. I mean, when in the sort of 80s, 90s, they were known as a decent side, really, weren't they? And for good reason, but they've really gone off the rails. I think they've got a new manager now. So there's a little bit of a caveat for this, but Hungary should get the win. And then we've got Slovakia at home to Iceland. And I just think Iceland they're not as good anymore. If you look at most of their points and goals in this group have been against Liechtenstein. Are they really that bothered here? You know, I think that in mathematically they can still qualify, but really the game's over for them. I think Slovakia are a weird team. I never get them. Like, they sometimes play really well and you think this is a team to watch out for, dark horse, and then put them against someone really good and they get battered. They're one of them international teams I really do struggle with, but they should be at home. They should be beating Iceland. So put these 3 teams together, Slovakia, Hungary and Austria, plus 316 parlay, just to win, nothing else. Just get the win and that will do me nicely.
And another big price lean, this comes from Rory, and it concerns Spain and their game at Cyprus midday Thursday, and we're looking at a team total here. Rory, what's your thoughts on this one? What's the big value play?
Yeah, playing a little looser with the lean. It's +225 Spain to clear over 4.5 goals. This is a Cyprus team that just aren't very good. I mean, they get battered by good teams. They've lost 4-0 to Georgia. They lost 3-0 to Scotland. They lost 6-0 to Spain in the first leg. And yeah, they've conceded 14 goals in their last three games. I just don't think the Cyprus side are very good. And once they go a couple of goals down, that does it for them. In Spain, they've got a lot of competition going on for those kind of front three positions right now. There's a lot of kind of young players coming into the side that are really trying to stake their claim. So they'll be pushing for goals. They've got Alvaro Morata, who's in brilliant form as well. If he plays, I just think Spain, as much as I have my doubts about them when they go into tournaments at times, there's one thing they do well, it's qualify, and they tend to beat up on those small teams, as we were saying with Portugal.
I could say I really, really like that pick as well. Cyprus are horrible at soccer now as well. In fact, it's almost gone a little bit under the radar how bad they are. They're not far off the likes of Gibraltar territory, Liechtenstein territory, in my opinion, at the moment.
It's crazy, isn't it, with Cyprus? Because, again, a few years ago, they looked like they were a nation on the up. One or two of their club sides did well. One qualified for the Champions League group stages. I can't remember which one. But only San Marino have conceded more in the qualifiers. It's incredible, their fall from grace. And soccer-loving country as well. Spain, +800 to win the Euros. I'd rather... I know you just intimated there, Rory, that, you know, when it comes to tournament football at the moment, Spain aren't ready. But I'd rather back Spain at +800 than Portugal at +900. I mean, Spain to win it next year?
I'd have them ahead of Portugal, but I have my doubts about De La Fuente. I think, I mean, Spain have come on leaps and bounds since they were beaten by Scotland and demonstrate some good stuff. But with all due respect to Scotland, it is just Scotland that they beat. They beat them 2-0 at home with a fun refereeing decision that allowed them to not concede the first goal against Norway. There were no great shakes as well away from home in Oslo, and I don't think Scotland or Norway are anywhere near the level of teams that will be in the semi-finals. I think Spain, they'll just have too many holes in them. So I think I'll be sticking closer to the favourites rather than kind of one of these second tier of teams for the Euros.
Is there just on the Euros, Steve, just before we get the best bets, I mean, is there now a bit of a gap? Have we got England and France, I guess, be looking at, and then a bit of a drop off? Germany, I'm not quite so sure about at the moment. I mean, the host, but the friendly results have been awful. I know they've changed their manager. Is there a bit of a gap between the top two and the rest?
In terms of squad quality, yes.
Seems it,
if
no?
You look at it, I've said that, I mean, England and France are probably the two best squads in the world. The problem England have got is possibly the manager. And France, well, it's hard to oppose France, isn't it, really, in anything, to be fair. Germany, I think, are starting to become a wild card now because of this change of manager. They're obviously home advantage. And let's see what Nagelsmann can do with them. They're the real joker in the pack.
France +400, England +400, Germany +700 for the outrights for the Euros. That ain't going to change between now, probably, and at least the spring. There might be one or two tweaks ahead of the tournament itself. We shall find out. Let's get some best bets before we wrap up. We've had some really good selections, Steve. What's your best play of this first match day of the international break?
Gosh, it's a tough one, but I think I'm going to go with Bielsa, Uruguay +1 Asian handicap.
Rory, what's your best play?
I'm going Austria to beat the lovely Estonians at +105 with over 2.5 goals in the game.
I must admit, I think that Colombia play has taken my eye against Brazil. Look forward to that one. Some really good selections. Many thanks. That wraps up Betting Weekly Extra Time International Edition. We got plenty to go at globally. Check out the Bet Rivers website. Plenty of qualifiers worldwide when it comes to Asia, South America. CONMEBOL, got CONCACAF as well, some Nations League action. Plenty to get stuck into. And make sure you stay across all of our content on our YouTube channel. Many thanks to Steve and to Rory from all of us. For now, though, it is goodbye.